In 2013, more than $156 million in counterfeit U.S. currency made its way into circulation globally before being seized. Now, the modern-day counterfeiter is operating in a world of accelerating technology, instant information, digital techniques. Ed Lowery is special agent in charge of the Criminal Investigations Division at the Secret Service. He told me how counterfeit criminals have evolved.
Counterfeit over the course of time has obviously changed with technology, as has all of our crimes and the rest of our daily lives. Back in the day when counterfeit was one of the original problems, it took some talent to be a printer. It was usually someone who had skills in industrialized printing, so you would have intaglio printing or you'd have offset printing, which was the typical way that counterfeit was made. As technology started to permeate every part of our lives, we started running into a lot more digitized or digitally produced counterfeit. And now it's progressed far enough in this day and age that the preponderance of counterfeit that we experience here domestically is produced digitally.
The trends, tell us what's going on with respect to the amount of dollars that you think are counterfeited. And do the numbers you have reflect what you're able to collect, or is it an estimate of what's out there that you don't get your hands on?
Well, the Secret Service, and again, that's, you know, one of the great problems in law enforcement is quantifying your effect on the problem that you're jurisdictionally mandated to cover. So originally, the original counterfeiting way back when we first started, it was at least a third of currency was believed to have been counterfeited. The Secret Service takes a three-pronged approach in the way to suppress the counterfeiting. We work with the FRB and the U.S. Treasury. Continually design enhancements into the currency, any counterfeiting enhancements. We do a strong law enforcement approach. We seek to identify the individuals producing the counterfeit. And then we spend a lot of time and effort in public education because the security enhancements we do are obviously driven towards the vendors or the shop owners out on the street recognizing counterfeit when someone attempts to pass it to them.
So getting back to the digital nature of modern bills, and you look at the bills today, and they're unbelievably complex.
Yes.
How are counterfeiters able to keep up with all of that stuff that is put into the little sheet of paper that constitutes a $100 bill?
Well, if you think about it, any criminal is going to do constant research and development on their tricks of the trade, and counterfeiters are no different. It is a requirement for them to conduct their criminal activity to be surreptitious and to be undetectable. So they do spend their time, as much as we spend our time enhancing the genuine currency, they spend quite a bit of time trying to counter our enhancements. And quite honestly, that's where the strong public education comes in. The service works, and we do a lot of public service announcements. We provide a lot of training to retail establishments in a way to find or identify counterfeit. So public education is a huge portion of how we suppress counterfeit.
So you do get calls from people that say, I think this $100 bill is no good?
Absolutely. We do get those calls, and a lot of times, you know, our direction as part of our education process is if you're a vendor and you are faced with an individual trying to pass counterfeit, you should call the local police department, who are going to be much more able to respond instantaneously to that problem. So we get a lot of calls from local and state police departments as they respond to counterfeit. And then we work collaboratively with our state and local law enforcement officers to try and work our way back to identify the individuals producing the counterfeit.
Is there a regional nature to this? That is to say, is most of it domestic? Is a lot of foreign counterfeiting going on, or does it vary within regions of the United States?
Well, historically, it's changed quite a bit. So overseas, the most counterfeited note is the $100 bill. Domestically, is predominantly the 20. That usually has more to do with the ease of passing or the way it's going to be utilized. And the way we approach it, we have a very robust overseas distribution of our personnel. Currently, one of the most recent was started in 2012, and we're working collaboratively with the Peruvians because it has developed into a hotbed of counterfeiting. There's a variety of reasons for that, but the Peruvian government has been very forthright and helpful in combating the problem. They recognize that it impacts their economy as well as ours. And they have dedicated law enforcement resources to work with us to try and suppress that problem. And there's been some resounding successes working with the Peruvians.
Ed Lowery is the special agent in charge of the Criminal Investigative Division at the Secret Service. And I'm looking at the figures that you have published for this year for dollar value seized before circulation. And that's gone down from, in 2009, it was $108 million. Now it's $71 million in 2013. Is that because there's less produced, or what is the reason for the decline in what you're getting before circulation?
Like any other good stat, they can be manipulated or altered, and you have to look behind the lines as to what's really being reported. So the fluctuations you see in the counterfeit seized versus passed can very well be impacted by a large suppression. So if we're working with our Peruvian counterparts or here domestically, and we end up suppressing a plant that has produced a lot of counterfeit but it hasn't been passed as of yet, you may see a corresponding drop in the overall passing activity. The Secret Service tracks each bill, so we can testify to the exact amount that was produced of that specific bill. That comes into play when you're looking at the prosecution and the sentencing guidelines. So it's very important that we can identify each bill by a variety of different methods and testify to that. So you'll see those numbers ebb and flow. Obviously, we would much rather see a much higher seizure rate prior to passing. Passing, obviously, there has been a victimization of our financial infrastructure. The local merchants have taken a loss on those notes, so we would much rather have a much higher seized prior to passing number.
And if you were to take this number, say $156 million in total counterfeit activity, foreign and domestic, for last year, if you think you're getting, say, even half of it, and suppose it's really $312 million, given the size of the economy, that's a pretty good number. That's pretty small.
Exactly. As I said earlier in the interview, we've been very successful in suppressing the counterfeiting of U.S. currency. We have, very tangible results. We can show that the number has been kept very low. And again, we've been aggressive in our public education. The public is a very good partner of ours in suppressing the counterfeit. And it does have a ground level impact when dollars or 20s or 100s are passed successfully on our merchants. So it's something we're very proud of. We've been very successful in the suppression, and that's why we were originally mandated to do it.
And when you're looking at the forensic aspect of this, say you have a counterfeit and you're looking at it, say it's digitally produced, are there markers in it, things about it that can tell you, say, the brand of printer or the kind of technology that was used that could give you clues to where it happened or who did it?
The service has worked closely with various methods of being able to track the notes. As I said earlier, we do specifically categorize each note in an attempt to be able to ascertain exactly how much a printer made and the method it was utilized. We track them separately between an offset versus a machine-printed note or a digitized note. So it's important for us to be able to ascertain the differences, and they may be very minute, but to our counterfeit specialists, it's just like a fingerprint.
And how does this counterfeit cash get out into the market? I mean, it's produced somewhere in, I guess, a factory of sorts, and then someone's got a big stack of bills. What do they do with it then?
There's a strong parallel with the way counterfeit is produced and then distributed, just like narcotics, quite honestly. Usually the printer is going to make a large stash of counterfeit. That's changed quite a bit as we spoke about the change in the way the counterfeit's produced. Early in when it was an offset method, it was much more cost effective for the counterfeiter to produce a large run of counterfeit, upwards of a couple million dollars at a time. With a digitized note, it's not as important for them to produce that much. They may produce it more per an order of a salesman. And then you have a distribution network that involves wholesalers down to the end user who's going to try and pass it on the street and recoup their money there.
So by the time it gets into circulation as spent money, it's really going to the people that it hurts the most.
Absolutely. If you're a business owner and you own a small business, a small mom-and-pop grocery store, what have you, if someone successfully passes a couple $1,000s in counterfeit on in your receipts, that's obviously an impact.
And what about coinage? Is that ever counterfeited? Is that something you ever need to pay attention to?
We do. It is part of our jurisdiction to worry about the counterfeiting of coins. It's not something we see very often. And again, that's specifically because of the cost benefit for the production. Is it worth someone's while to do that? It's a totally different process, obviously, than making paper money. So it's a different skill set. And is the juice worth the squeeze?